I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks so much for joining me today. For 2 hours every weekday, you're going to hear here, only here, the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and what separates this show from political talk radio across the spectrum, across the nation, is we break apart the two-party propaganda and even larger propaganda narratives. I've got some big ones today having to do with a video game release, which is programming our young kids to believe the kinds of things that the news media reports. We'll talk about that later. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here for independent thinkers, so I'm glad to have you with me. So Trump is in merry old England today and starts a Twitter war, an insult fest on his way in, calling the mayor of London a stone-cold loser. It's a little bit of punching down as far as I'm concerned. I don't really get it. I was interested most last night in the story that came out that Trump had a new hairstyle. Now, that's news I can get with. It's very interesting. I actually am pretty amazed that really Trump's hair has not been even more of an issue during his time in office, to be honest with you. It is a great mystery. Exactly what's going on there. Very interesting. He's somewhat self-effacing about it, which is, I think, is something he could play into. Make him more likable. But he apparently kind of slicked back. There were a couple of pictures of him kind of Gordon Gekko. It was a different look. I don't know what people would think about it, but it was kind of interesting. That was the biggest news from the trip to London. The rest of it is just what we do, the pomp and circumstance, and they'll bring out the bobbies and the, what do they call the guards with the, I guess the royal guard with the big black fuzzy hats. So it's just kind of more of the same. We're going to talk a little bit today about some impeachment stuff. As much as I'm not going to be talking about that over the next 18 months leading into this next election, as it will be one of the lead stories on every major network, on every MSNBC and every CNN show for the next 18 months. I'm not going to cover a lot of it, but I've got some interesting clips on it today. I hope everybody's okay. Apparently, yesterday, I missed this. I actually have a life outside of the digital world, but apparently yesterday, large swaths of the internet went down. I ran across this story that I thought was kind of funny, and this may be better for a Tech Tuesday segment, but I thought I'd get to it today just because I found it a little humorous. You know, as we dive headlong into this technological utopia that we're building for ourselves, and everybody's got their little assistant in the house where you just ask questions out loud, or you don't have to get up and move a light switch now. You can somehow on your phone control your lights and your heating and your cooling and your front door, and you can allow people to come and go from your house. If you're a Google user, you probably noticed some trouble last night when trying to access Google-owned services. Last night, Google reported several issues with its cloud platform, which made several Google sites slow or inoperable. I saw the heat map of this. It didn't seem to really affect the Southeast much, but again, I was not online yesterday because I have a life. And so I don't know if anybody experienced any of this. It says, because of this, many of Google's sites and services, including Gmail, G Suite, and YouTube, were slow or completely down for users in the U.S. and Europe. But this is where I found it was kind of interesting and kind of, I don't know, kind of comical. You be careful what you wish for. But an especially annoying side of Google Cloud's downtime was that Nest-branded smart home products for some users just failed to work. According to reports from Twitter, Many people were unable to use their Nest thermostats, Nest smart locks, and Nest cameras during the downtime. This essentially meant that because of a cloud storage outage, people were prevented from getting inside their homes, using their AC, and monitoring their babies. So, you know, and this is what we're setting ourselves up for. Let me tell you. When we get to this, as they roll this 5G out to all of us with the promises of this more interconnected thing, I mean, I don't know why this is important, but they tell me how great it's going to be when my dishwasher and my refrigerator can somehow communicate with each other and to the outside world. Maybe my toilet will start reporting on my water use and my air conditioner will let the proper authorities know whether or not I'm being as green as I should be. I'm telling you, watch what you wish for as we wire ourselves in. And this is for the people labeled, I hate this term, but the people labeled conspiracy theorists. See this march toward this total digitizations of every service that we have, the smart meters that many cities are incorporating. People say, you know, what do you do when you've got this smart meter on your house that is wired in to the internet and has some control features outside of your home? What do you do when you get that Green New Deal mayor or your Green New Deal city council? And they just decide that, you know what? You're going to be just fine at 82. We need to save the planet, and your air conditioner is no longer yours. The climate in your home, even if you're willing to pay the power bill, that is of no consequence to them. They will tell you, no, we're going to set your air at 82 during the day because that is what is good for the planet. And as we wire more and more things today, maybe your dishwasher only works every 3 days. You don't need to be doing dishes every single day. And all of these functions are going to be wired in, and we're going to lose control of them. Soon we'll have the self-driving cars. We know what you can all imagine the consequences of that. There's also stories when it comes to big tech stuff. It says the big headlines, I think it was on Friday, that the Justice Department is preparing new antitrust investigations against Google parent Alphabet. And then the story went on to talk about the fact that most recent quarterly results for Google show a slowdown in their ad business. There could actually be. Now, these in reporting the story is about the only time you'll hear me say the word Google on air. If I want you to go look up something or encourage you, if I encourage you to go look up something on the internet, I tell you to do an internet search. I do not use the verb Google any longer because this company, who has provided quite a service to the world as far as ease of use and everything, is now a nefarious player in my mind. They are censoring search results. They are creating channels for that they place you in. And the manipulation of the human mind through search results as we more and more, you know, we forget more facts now. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody else. I've actually stopped when I'm trying to remember something. For the last few years, I would pull out my phone, or my laptop, my iPad, and I do a quick search for whatever it was I was looking for. I've stopped doing that now. I've decided to keep trying to access it somewhere in my own brain. And I've found that I'm getting a little bit better at it. We're outsourcing everything to online. Google is not a good player, but I don't know enough about antitrust laws to make an informed decision about whether or not these companies like Google and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube actually being a part of Google, should be broken up. My immediate reaction to just about anything the government is planning to do when it comes to a private business is to say hands off, let competition take care of it. But I'm sure there are good arguments to be made that these people just control far too much right now. And I know that with time, competition will take them out. I don't believe that Facebook in 20 years will be anything like Facebook is now. I hope that people will catch on to the fact that it is just dulling your senses and a really worthless addiction for many, many people. Facebook is not bringing people happiness. There's some good little uses for it, but the way that it's currently used now, YouTube is just a fantastic platform as far as getting information. I've been remodeling a house. There's no better way to find out how to do something than to plug it into YouTube and do it, but YouTube is doing the same thing by deplatforming conservative people and some left people. Anybody that does not subscribe to the mainstream narrative, whatever the elites really want us to believe or the way they want us to function, they will deplatform people across the spectrum. YouTube, obviously, another bad player. And ditto for Twitter, not satisfied with silencing Trump supporters because it was her turn. Twitter last week banned hundreds and, by some reports, thousands of Chinese dissidents from their platform 3 days before the 30th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre. And so that is Twitter censoring users to keep the communist government from having to endure the slings and arrows on the anniversary of a brutal, brutal crackdown in China. If you're not familiar with the Tiananmen Square incident, it is something you should do an internet search for and see what really is behind a communist regime like they have in China. It is brutal. It is authoritarian. And Twitter just says, you know, this bastion of free speech, Jack Dorsey, who just wants to give the world a voice and allow us to connect with one another. When the Chinese government says, take it down, they take it down. These social media and big tech companies right now are not our friends. They really are not. A convenience, yes. But I have not, I think I've sent out 3 tweets in my entire life responding to somebody's tweet. I don't do Twitter. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Google. I do use YouTube. I guess that's where my last stand is. Anyway, I'm glad everybody's okay. And what's the beautiful thing about the internet going down and all of these things happening? Little old terrestrial over-the-air radio soldiers on. Who would have thunk 10, 15, 20 years ago as technology and internet connectivity cranks up? You would have thought the old dinosaur of over-the-air talk radio would be dead in its tracks, replaced by all of these other things, yet we continue to soldier on. No need for online access. Driving down the road, you can catch us free over the air. Thanks to our fine sponsors, which we will take a break for right now, and I'll be right back. Got some interesting impeachment stuff. I don't spend a lot of time on it, but I found some clips that I thought were worth playing. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I made a statement last segment. I'm pretty derogatory towards social media, at least in the way that it is used by the average American person. It's a place for us to create little bubbles where we just reinforce each other's ideas, and these ideas are based on propaganda fed to us by the government or by politicians. And I'm going to break some of that down later on today. I do use Facebook. I said I don't do Facebook. And in my personal life, I rarely ever use Facebook. If somebody friends me, I accept their request. And if somebody sends me a message on there, I'll read it. But I just don't engage in it. Now, I do have a page for The Mike Madison Show, which is The Mike Madison Show. And I put out some articles there. I am in this studio for 2 hours giving people views and opinions that are very different than what a lot of people will hear traditionally on conservative radio. I am a real free market, limited government guy, libertarian guy, and that goes against what people hear the other 22 hours a day on conservative talk radio. So what I use my Facebook page for is every few days, once a week, twice a week, I'll post a story that I hope people might read and say, huh, well, that's interesting. I haven't considered it that way because it's from a source other than me. It's from, there's a great conservative site out there called The American Conservative. And it is about real, small, limited government and a foreign policy that is not going around kicking over ant beds all around the world and then complaining about the consequences of it to further kick over more ant beds. And so I put things out there because that just, it shows you the kind of stuff I read, the stuff that I think makes common sense. I do not post a lot of things from Fox News on there. So I do use Facebook for that reason. I could set up a web page, and people have suggested that I do that. But to be honest with you, I mean, ultimately, I'm sure maybe I may do that. If I stay in talk radio, then I'll probably have a website at some point. But how many websites do you visit? I'm not prepared to dedicate a lot of time that makes my website something that's worthy of you visiting from time to time. And Facebook is where people already are. So I'll post something out there. It's been interesting. It shows what little impact I have on Facebook, that I've posted a lot of anti-Facebook stories on Facebook, and they don't seem to notice because I don't have a big reach on Facebook. And that's because I won't pay them a nickel. It's constantly telling me how for $5 or $30 I can engage so many more people. I know my stuff's not really getting out there. If you want to follow the page, follow the page. If you're interested in learning new things and seeing sources that are outside of Breitbart, Daily Caller, and the Drudge Report, then go to follow my website. You'll just get it two articles a week that maybe just plant a seed in your brain that maybe things aren't as cut and dry, as red and blue as everybody believes that they are. I got a couple of clips here. The Trump impeachment is going to dominate the news cycle for at least what? I mean, we know the next 6 months are a foregone conclusion as they wrangle about this. Probably the next 18 months, even if they start impeachment hearings or they just talk about it to keep it as a campaign issue, I don't know. But I'll tell you where it's going to lead. Nowhere. Trump is not going to be impeached. And these kinds of stories and constant narratives drive me nuts because they lead nowhere. Now, to Trump supporters out there, listen to conservative talk radio. That's great news. That Mike Madison, he's got it right. They're never going to impeach Trump. This is ridiculous. They shouldn't be spending time on it. They shouldn't even be talking about it. They need to take care of the country's business, whatever you think. But unfortunately, I also have the view that the same can be said about the Barr investigation of the investigators. It will dominate the conservative news cycle for the next 18 months. Documents will be released. People will be subpoenaed. They will go through essentially the anti-Russiagate thing where they investigate the investigators, and headlines will talk about different people being called up or new records being found. And it will also lead nowhere. Nowhere of any importance, at least that's what I believe. And here's why. And at the risk of offending or bursting the bubble of people who really want to see this happen, myself included, I'd love to think that there's some perp walks at the end of this thing. But to think that the establishment attorney general, while he's very popular in Trump circles right now, understandably so, pretty smooth guy, seems to be holding his ground, looks well reasoned. You know, he's not Jeff Sessions, so everybody's excited about that. But Attorney General Barr is about as establishment as they get. And this is a guy who started his career at anyone? William Barr started his career at the CIA. And if you're going to have to pardon my cynicism and skepticism that this establishment George H.W. Bush's attorney general, who began his career at the CIA, is somehow going to be the linchpin to taking down the deep state, I got to tell you, I'm suspicious at the very least. So what we're going to have is endless months, endless coverage of both the impeachment and the investigation of the investigators, and neither one of them are going to lead anywhere, and that's why on this show I will do stories that I think actually matter that people should pay attention to. But I've got a couple of clips here. This is a clip, Nancy Pelosi on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. One of the great tragedies of the Trump era is that comedians have lost their sense of humor. As somebody who really enjoys good comedy, it is a real shame to watch comedians on the left lose any humor in their lives whatsoever. Their so-called comedy has become chronically unfunny, Jimmy Kimmel being one of the worst. But the reason that I play this is not so much for Pelosi talking impeachment or those kinds of things. She says something in here that I would think people would... I think it's racist. I'm going to let you listen to it, and you tell me. I was surprised that I haven't seen this really anywhere.
Let me just say this immodestly. I probably have a better idea as to what the president has to be held accountable for than anyone.
Have you read the Mueller report?
Yes, I have. The only
Even
person,
the blacked out parts?
No.
Oh, yeah,
only,
right.
We're,
yeah.
Not, we're calling for that. We want to, they would show it to me. But I said, why? I'm not going to let you show it to me unless you show it to the whole country.
Oh, interesting. I would want to see it.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah. Well, show it to me.
The only person who knows better than I why this president is not above the law, why this president must be held accountable, the only person who knows better than I do is the president of the United States. He knows. He knows what his violations have been.
I don't think he even knows. I don't think he...
Well, he may not care, but I think he knows.
Yeah, I think sometimes they do things and they go, oh, that's not allowed. And then they kind of go back and try to figure out what it was and how they can keep it quiet.
Yeah, you know what really bugs me about that?
All right, get ready for this. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong. A middle-aged white guy, I don't know, but in this very, very sensitive time we live in of political correctness, Nancy Pelosi says something here that, okay, I'll play the game that people play. If somebody on the right had said this next statement, it would be dominating the news cycle right now.
Because when you see what they say, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know it was wrong to talk to Russians about this. I didn't know. I said, why don't, how do you explain that to kids in the hood?
What? Can you say that? How do you explain that to kids in the hood? Nancy, I don't think that's allowed. I mean, I understand she's a leftist, so maybe that. So they just tried to pretend this didn't happen. But when I heard this clip, I thought, holy cow.
How do you explain that to kids in the hood when they're approached by law enforcement and they say, well, I didn't realize that I was supposed to do this or that. Well, you're supposed to know. But these very wealthy people with high-priced lawyers can get away with saying, I didn't know it
right.
was wrong.
That's why
to
we
do
need
that.
You to get in there and to take care of this and just do something to these guys.
Golly, I've got view clips today, too. Because I'm going to do a little bit today on just propaganda and things that are just put out in the media that are just dead wrong. And The View is a news source to some people. So every time I do my little sheep sound for an audience that claps at this kind of stuff, I think of The View. Just, I don't know. I would like to go and administer IQ test for it. No offense. Maybe I'm just mad because I think I compete against The View. Does anybody know when that's on? I think it's a morning show, isn't it? So I think maybe I compete against The View, so maybe I'm just trying to go after them for ratings. But here is one other thing that I thought was interesting. This is Donny Deutsch. He was on MSNBC talking about impeachment. Donny Deutsch is an advertising guy. I think he was a very successful advertising guy throughout the 80s and the 90s. And for some reason, I'm not really sure how this transpired, he has become a political commentator from his advertising days in New York City. But this is him. He's got an idea about impeachment that's, I think, is kind of gross.
Saturday Night Politics on MSNBC, Donny Deutsch. So, Donny, what do you make of this argument? This is the political argument versus the base argument. And you want the word impeachment out of the conversation. Explain that.
I want to rebrand the fight. You have to fight. The Democrats have to fight to the Rev's point. But you.
And I want to just make one point. One of the things that caught my interest about this clip is that most of the things done politically, these talking points, whether it's impeachment or anything else, these messages given to the American people, I don't care if they're a State of the Union address. I don't care if they are tweets sent out. Now, I'm not really talking about Trump. Trump's rapid fire tweeting cannot be focus grouped every tweet. But politicians stake out things. They use words that they think will be effective and manipulative of their people. They focus group this stuff. They use public relations firms and things to craft a message that resonates with you. They don't care about any of these things. These things don't have deep meanings for people. It's why I really hate prepared written speeches by professional speech writers. And then so some politician gives some polished speech written by some paid speech writer, and then pundits, I don't care if it is a Democrat or Republican, they come on the air and they say, oh, this is one of the most important speeches ever given. Did you hear the great rhetoric? And then other people say, oh, that was a terrible speech. These things don't matter to me. These are packaged ideas through PR firms and focus groups. There is no reality to this stuff. It is all designed to manipulate the American people's minds, to feed them a load of crap dressed up in some kind of language that they believe will be effective. And that's where Donnie Deutsch may be valuable to the Democratic Party, because he's trying to help them package what is going to be endless Trump attacks for the next 2 years.
You don't want to fight that you're going to lose. You're going to lose an impeachment fight for two reasons, because Donald Trump gets to say, they're coming to take me away, they're going to take your president, and it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. So you do look like sore losers, and you're setting up a losing fight. Does that mean you fight, don't fight? No. You rebrand the fight, step away from impeachment, and change it to the Trump criminal investigations. Already brand him a criminal. You say Robert Mueller basically said he obstructed justice. We know that. That was a criminal activity. He just couldn't indict because of the guidelines. We know he's an unindicted co-conspirator with the Southern District. We know we're going to be looking at his taxes, his philanthropies. You, Nancy Pelosi, you, Jerry Nadler, you, Adam Schiff, you, Elijah Cummings, start and initiate the Trump criminal investigations. Impeachment may be part of it. Brand him a criminal already. You already had an AG that has gone on a branding exercise. The head of the judicial system went on a branding exercise successfully. The Congress needs to rebrand impeachment, the Trump criminal investigations. Have him saying, I'm not a criminal. That is the simple winning fight. Rebrand it. Impeachment is not the right word for you.
There you go. So there's no, and that's why I don't spend a lot of time on these back and forth battles, because I understand these are just designed to score political points, to get the bases rallied up, whether it's the Trump supporters or whether it's the anti-Trumpers. Everything keeps us polarized. Everything keeps us excited on both sides of these things. And they are just prepackaged political ideas for the masses. That's all this is. And again, as I say, they're going to lead nowhere. I believe the impeachment will absolutely go nowhere except for 18 months of headlines. The investigation of the investigators led by William Barr will go nowhere because he is an establishment deep state character himself, and I do not believe he will bring down the deep state. This is political theater. I'm going to move on to some other things today and show you kind of, again, trying to pull the curtain back on what really goes on in the world.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Got a short segment here, and I thought I'd just plug this in somewhere just because I thought it was so funny. You know, as disgusted as I am with the political system, really with most all of our choices, you know, the left has just gotten so bad. This was John Hickenlooper. Apparently there was a confab of the California Democrats together where they brought some of these presidential candidates on, and John Hickenlooper is not down with the idea of socialism for this country yet. And it is quite amazing, I gotta say. It is quite amazing to listen to these crowds. Listen to the reception he gets when he tells them socialism may not be a winning strategy.
If we want to beat Donald Trump, and achieve big progressive goals, socialism is not the answer. I was reelected.
Boo.
I was reelected in a purple state in 2014, one of the worst years for Democrats.
And they keep coming.
In a quarter century.
Boo.
I was. You know, if we're not careful, we're going to end up helping to reelect. We shouldn't try to achieve universal coverage by removing private insurance from over 150 million Americans. We should not try to tackle climate change by guaranteeing every American a government job. Hold on, hold on. As the Democratic Party, we have to create a vision for this country. I want to give Americans a reason to look forward to tomorrow.
Jeez Louise, that's where we are. A Democratic candidate at this point coming out against socialism or universal health care is a killer. I mean, I think the guy's dead. Hickenlooper, he didn't have a chance anyway. But it is pretty amazing to listen to these people. Now, there was some talk a while back about California seceding. And, I mean, I don't think I could encourage it fast enough. There was also talk about, and I think they got pretty close to breaking California into three separate states. And I can't remember if that was stopped at the court level. The vote on that was stopped at the court level. But, boy, something needs to happen. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the helplessness of conservatives out there that are... And California is such a beautiful state. It has got so much to offer. And their politicians are destroying that state. And apparently these people are happy to have them do it. You know, I'm going to say this again to any leftists listening to this show. Socialism, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait to get John Hickenlooper on the board of... on board with socialism. You don't have to wait for Bernie Sanders. You don't have to wait for any of these people to come along. You can, today, start to be a socialist. If you would like to be a socialist, then all you have to do is get, I mean, the possibilities are endless. Start with your family. Start implementing socialism in your family. I mean, there's no tighter knit group of people that I'm sure you hold sway with. Everybody's income goes into a bucket, and then everybody's income comes out equally. Your brother who spent his youth studying and then getting through college and being successful at law school and coming out and having a promising, lucrative legal career, he should put his money into a bucket so that you get a chunk of that. I mean, and this is not limited to families. You can do friend groups. You can do neighborhoods. You can start socialism anytime you want to. And what I love about this exercise is that every socialist who hears that knows, my friends will never go along with this. My family would never go along with putting all our money into just a big bucket and everybody taking out a little chunk. See, everybody knows, even on an interpersonal level, there's no way in the world it would succeed with your family. But for some reason, you think it will work for 328 million people. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, how are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm good, Willie. How are you?
All right. I just had something to say. You may have covered this already, but I just wanted to know, tell you that I think one of the main issues with Mr. Trump and the people here ever since he became president is the fact that they're not so much against him. I think they would be the same way of any Democrat that they think or conservative, at least, they thought would put in a conservative would change the dynamics of the Supreme Court. I think that would have been just anybody. They would have been that way against anybody.
Well,
they thought we were going to do it. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I might disagree with you. I think Trump is a lightning rod, and he weighs into the fray. I mean, Trump is somebody who, you know, people admire him for the fact he fights back or whatever, but he's crass, he's direct, he's... I think that Trump has made it very easy for the left to hate him. And this is why, sure, I think he needs to put away the Twitter feed. I don't think he needs to fly into London and call the mayor there a stone-cold loser. Obviously, the mayor is just not a good guy. I'm no fan of that mayor, but I don't think he needs to do that. I think he has made himself out to be a lightning rod. And that's why I think I've said since Trump got elected, his approval rating should be in the 60s or 70%. If you just listen to the way he campaigned, He wants American jobs. He wants to, you know, revitalize the economy. He said he wanted to get us out of the wars. If he had stuck to his campaign talking points and then become more of a just kind of an above the fray guy, I think his approval ratings in 60 or 70%.
I heard today when I was on my way to where I am now on radio that his approval rating is at 60-some percent now. And even 72% of the American public think that he's doing an excellent job.
Oh, I haven't seen anything
on toward. It was some Harvard study.
I'd be
doing an excellent job as far as the economy goes.
If you see that study, send it to me, because I haven't seen him go above about 52%. And again, I think he should have. I said it from the day I was on air when he was getting inaugurated. I mean, I think he had the possibility to be kind of a Kennedy-esque president. But I think he lets his personality get in the way, and then he's made some terrible hires when it comes to foreign policy, and he's lost.
I agree with you there. Yeah. And getting back to that mayor of, I think of Paris or whatever.
London.
I think it was just as much wrong of him making the statement that he put out on the Twitter or whatever he did this morning before Trump was on his way, calling him that he's a divider and like he doesn't represent American values. And I'm thinking, well, what is he doing over there?
For
all of these, what they call them, yellow vest problems they're having in Paris, you know.
Well, that's Khan, the mayor, is in London, and then Paris.
He's
in London. But let me just ask you this real quick, and then I got to take a break. But so when Trump calls him a stone cold loser by tweet, what do you think? I mean, one of the reasons that this Sadiq Khan, I believe that's his name, I know his last name is Khan, the mayor, one of the reasons he's even on the map for our news cycle is that he and Trump have been going back and forth on Twitter anyway. If Trump had probably never engaged this guy, and didn't give him a voice, then I don't think we'd even be hearing about this. I just don't know what purpose it serves.
Well, I agree 100% with. I always have said that I wish he would put his Twitter down. I always have said that even from the very first day.
Yeah,
he got in office. I agree 100% with that, and I think that he needs to start letting things just roll off. I think Mr. Obama used the old term that let it run off his back just like the water on a duck.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And I think that I always thought that he needs to do that. Just don't pay any attention to people like that. People, American public, we know what he's doing. Believe me, we know.
And, you know, the other thing is, too, if
Pelosi or these other people up there saying, these people know. They're feeling it in their pockets.
You know, if he didn't fight back and make such an issue of it, my belief is that, you know, if you see somebody, even somebody you don't like, you know, you'll see this sometimes in movies or in real life. If somebody is constantly being attacked and they're not doing anything back, you just eventually the attackers look like just bullies.
Right.
And I believe if Trump had just sat back and taken these slings and arrows and just been about business, about the economy, about winding down the wars and doing those things, I think even people on the left would go, why do y'all keep attacking him? I mean, he's not doing anything, but his personal style is this. Is a showman, and he wants to get his, you know, he's kind of a last word guy. He wants to get the last word in. It's great for the base, but I think it is not serving him as far as his popularity. He could get a lot more done for his base if he had more popularity, and he might not have lost the House of Representatives. So anyway,
isn't that New York style
obnoxiousness? Yeah, I believe that is attributable to New York. So, hey, thanks, Willie. Appreciate the call. Got to run to a break.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, be right back. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, short segment here. I'm going to get into some of these view clips and some real propaganda. And I have been pointing out here for pretty much the time I've been on this show, mainstream entertainment is where a lot of propaganda hides. It's very subtle. You don't really expect that you're going to get it. It's just narratives driven. I've talked about Law & Order. SVU is one of the worst about driving mainstream narratives and sneaking little storylines in there in the guise of an entertainment drama where they make a lot of really very I'm trying to think of a word for it, but they implant these ideas. It's who the bad guy is that matters in these kinds of shows. They phrase things, and I've got a story about that today. But I wanted to talk about one thing. I've gotten an email from a couple of different people. It was a link to a Gateway pundit story. And I will chase down and throttle propaganda wherever I find it. I don't care who puts it out. I don't care who benefits or is hurt by it. When it's just disingenuous and I see it feeding this two-party system, this red-blue idea that one party is so much greater than the others, I'll track it down and kill it. This was a Gateway Pundit story, a very conservative site. I say that. It's a very Republican side. I guess I'll put it more that way. Conservatism has been lost. The meaning of that as far as limited small government has been lost long time ago. This is the headline, Measuring Performance. New data shows absolute economic destruction during the Obama years. And the story goes into, has a bunch of charts from the Federal Reserve. They're called Fred charts. And it shows things, student loans, food stamps, federal debt, money printing, health insurance costs, and labor force participation rates during the Obama years and the years preceding. The idea being that somehow Barack Obama single-handedly destroyed the U.S. economy. Now, Barack Obama was terrible. Oh, he was terrible. I am no Barack Obama fan whatsoever. But to ignore the larger ideas that things like the Federal Reserve, Barack Obama didn't print this money. If you look at the chart, it's like a hockey stick. And this was during the financial crisis, money printing. They just went crazy. We know about this. We know about bailouts. We know about QE1, QE2, QE3. Health insurance costs. You can look at those charts. The thing is that they really highlight these real big downturns in the, like labor force participation during the Barack Obama tenure. Now, he had to contend with the great financial crisis was going on during his tenure. The stuff had been building, systemic structural problems in our economy that had been building for decades under both Republicans and Democrats. Barack Obama stepped in during that time. Does that make him blameless? No. But these stories that make it look like if people believe that Barack Obama is the reason that the economy did poorly during his term, and they ignore things like the Fed and the Congress that actually spends money and sets student loan policies, then you're missing the whole boat and getting caught up in this red-blue Republican-Democrat garbage.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25 foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. You want to join the show, our number here is 601-879-0002. I'm going to finish up talking about this Gateway Pundit story because I, in order to get ready for the show every day and just out of personal curiosity, and I am a political junkie, I visit a lot of sites, conservative, liberal, independent, a lot of libertarian sites. I look at a lot of different things. I want to see what people are saying. I read a lot of comment sections to kind of take a pulse of what people think around the country. And when I look at Gateway Pundit, while they may do some stories, and I know people are drawn to that because it's very pro-Trump, it's very pro-Republican, and conservatives want to be reinforced and go to, not a lot of conservatives are going to spend a lot of time on Huffington Post, and I understand that. But you have to know what you're seeing. You have to be able to pick out the just the propaganda from the facts. And I was talking about this Gateway Pundit story. This Gateway Pundit story is titled Measuring Performance. New data shows absolute economic destruction during the Obama years. And that's a great clickbait headline for any Republican that wants to go and bash Barack Obama. And God knows he deserves as much bashing as you're willing to give him. I have no problems with that whatsoever. Obama was just a cutout to allow the system to keep going. And I'm especially disgusted by Obama, number one, with the healthcare grab that he sold to the American people as this benevolent idea of getting uninsured insured, when actually I know, and my listeners know, that it was a health insurance cash grab. The health insurance industry put together Obamacare, and their profits doubled in 3 years. That's what that was about. But he was a great salesman for that. He also took the anti-war left and told them to sit down and shut up, that it's now cool to drone a bunch of people halfway around the world. He started more wars than Bush did. And so I'm no Barack Obama fan whatsoever. But when I look at these charts and I see this story that tries to point to Obama as wrecking the economy, do you realize that Obama was elected as the financial crisis was in full swing? So obviously the economy was wrecking itself before Barack Obama got there. Again, I don't like Obama. But see, we try to deal on this show in facts, not in hyper-partisan propaganda. And I look at these charts, food stamps up. Well, what do you expect? We lived through the greatest financial crisis since the Great Depression. And it was a created thing. Through policies of our federal government, the debt that's been piled into our system by the Fed, by endless congressional spending, and it's congressional spending. Presidents don't spend money. I look at the charts here of the party divisions of the House. Since 2010, the Republicans had the House. So a lot of these charts are under the Republican-controlled House, particularly, and then a Senate for part of these charts. And it shows spending going up, food stamps going up, and student loans skyrocketing. And to ignore the fact that the Republicans were in charge of these branches of government or these parts of Congress during that time is disingenuous. Labor force participation, we have a systemic problem with employment in this country. We've got real problems. And not one party or the other is going to solve them, because both of the parties got us to this point. Look at health insurance costs ballooning under Barack Obama as a result of Obamacare. The problem is that Obamacare wasn't just a Democrat thing. It was a lobbyist thing. And if you fail to notice that and just try to place this at the feet of the Democrats, so if we just get it more Republicans, I mean, you look at home ownership. Well, obviously, we had a horrible home ownership was artificially inflated in the first place. Through teaser things and low interest rates, and it jacked up the cost of, I mean, I'm not going to relive the entire housing crisis thing, but these are systemic problems of the way this massive federal government and the banks and everybody all work together to loot the American people. And then we suffer the consequences of it. To lay this just at the feet of Barack Obama is naive and foolish, but Gateway Pundit just really wants to keep you in that corral of thinking everything bad is Obama. We hear here on conservative media all the time now that this coup against Trump was a bunch of Obama holdovers, and this was the Obama administration. Yes, it was the Obama administration. You know who gave them all the tools to launch this deep state coup against Donald Trump? George Bush and the Republicans and Republican voters who love things like the Patriot Act and all this warrantless warrantless searches and FISA courts and. You have to understand the system is broken, and the same old kinds of Republicans that got us here are not going to get us out. That's why I say the primary is the biggest tool that we've got. I don't blame people for voting Republican. The left has lost its collective mind. The leftists must be beaten in this country. There's no doubt about that. But boy, we should be using the primaries. We should tell these Republicans, look, as conservatives, we're voting for you because you're not as bad as they are. But until you give us somebody who is actually going to start unpeeling this government and actually going to go in there and start taking a chopping block to it, we're going to primary you every time you're going to be a one-termer guaranteed if you vote for more spending. You're going to be a one-termer guaranteed if you send any more of our kids halfway around the world for some regime change operation you've got. You're going to be a one-termer. We should tell them that every single time and use the primaries. The problem is we're so beholden to parties, and we allow this establishment to convince us and to scare us to continue to vote for establishment candidates. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. This is Robert. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. You know, technically, that headline wasn't incorrect. It was during the Obama years.
Yes.
What it fails to point out is that the Republicans were in charge of the House for six of his years.
Right.
And the Republicans were in charge of the House and Senate for the last 2 years. And never once did they try to rein in spending. Never once did they even, they didn't even offer up budgets. You know.
Yeah, they didn't do budgets for 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
The other day from a guy, I don't know, are you familiar with a guy named Dan Celia?
No.
Dan's a financial guru guy, and he was talking about in 2010, he said that the budget process was ruined and gone away forever now because of continuing resolutions.
Yeah.
2010 was the first year that they did a continuing resolution. Well, in 2010, the Republicans were in charge of the House.
Right. Right. And
they did continue, so they, for the last 9 years now, they've been funding the government with continuing resolutions.
Right.
The Republicans have been in charge of Congress doing this.
And the and that's where the pocketbook is in the House of Representatives.
Obama spent money, but he spent money that Congress gave him.
Right. And here's what the Gateway Pundit story says in it. This is where the propaganda is, because you're right. The headline is actually accurate. I probably should have noticed that better myself. But here's what it says in the story. His 8 years did more to destroy America than any of the past presidents, be they Democrat or Republican. So this is laying all of these numbers and all of these bad graphs at the foot of Obama, because that's, you know, that sets up this two-party. Obama is what caused all this. And not, you know, obviously nowhere in this thing does it say, you know, under George Bush, this financial crisis happened. I mean, it doesn't. And it's not Bush's fault either. You know, this is systemic problems with our economy. And the thing that just drives me nuts about it is that we're going to have another one. And the people are so ill-informed, so misinformed, so propagandized to, they can't figure out what the real problem is. And the real problem is it's bipartisan, it's unpartisan, it is a structural problem of the elites looting and hollowing out the core of the United States.
Exactly right. And, you know, all of this is just both sides. Republicans and the Democrats are great at campaigning, and everything that they say is just for campaign purposes. Neither one of them want to govern. They just want to campaign. And because they know that the American public, by and large, the majority, are really just voting against the other side.
Right, absolutely.
Voting
right.
For their side and holding their side accountable. They just don't want the other guy in charge because they think the other one's crazy.
Right. It's a great trap.
The folks on the left, you know, you and I agree that the Democrats are crazy. But the folks on the far left think that we're crazy.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, because Huffington Post has another headline just like this. I mean, I'm not looking at one, but I know Huffington Post puts out the same kind of propaganda stuff. And because Republicans and Democrats get into their own little bubbles, it just feeds this idea. And like I say, I got several people emailed me this story about Obama wrecking our economy. And I'm just thinking, you know, I'm with you. There's a million things we can talk about how terrible Barack Obama was. But you can't, this kind of stuff is just not dealing with reality. It's just trying to put this hyper-partisan face on a problem. And so we're ignoring the root causes in order to score some political points and make us all feel like we're on the winning team.
Well, you know, he spent a lot of money on illegal immigration and all, but every dime of it was given to him by Congress. And he told us up front he was going to do this.
Yeah.
And we, you know, that's like you having an irresponsible teenager and you're complaining about him spending a bunch of money, but yet you keep giving him $20 a week.
Amen.
You know? Well,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yes, I know that. I bring that point up all the time.
You're giving it to him.
Yeah, and these are kids that we love, and we would cut them off in a minute. But that's why I say, and I said it last week, I think we should treat politicians like children, not like our parents, and we should treat them like employees and not deities.
Oh, they're royalty. They're deity. They're just. I mean, it's sickening to watch how they get treated when they come home.
Yeah, and
when they bless us with their presence twice a year.
Yeah, as Thad Cochran lays in state for the next 3 days or whatever they just reported on the news. Right, you know, comes back to and again, that's I don't know. We're just trapped in this. I see everybody going into these bubbles, and today, the rest of this hour is about more propaganda. It's just relentless. Yeah. It's like playing whack-a-mole on the show. Thanks, Robert. I appreciate the call, man. All right, got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. I don't know what I'll get to next. I may get to The View, because I don't know if I would consider this clip to be propaganda or just absolute ignorance, just pure stupidity. Who is watching The View? If you have a spouse or a loved one watching The View, please have an intervention with those people.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Talked about the Gateway Pundit propaganda to the right, that Obama was the cause of all of our problems, and Donald Trump can fix this economy all by himself. Here's the problem you're going to have. My opinion, we'll see if I'm right or wrong, we've got another financial crisis coming. Trade war may tip us into it. Not Trump's fault, necessarily. It's just that we're much less resilient. We are much more fragile than we are being led to believe. If you look at the underlying problems with our economy, it was interesting. The Federal Reserve Chief Jerome Powell was on 60 Minutes last night, and he was talking about the strength of the economy and that this should be able to continue rolling on. I don't know if you've ever paid attention. Most people do not when it comes to the Federal Reserve. But Ben Bernanke said, well, we think housing is contained. You know, just a couple of big markets are having, it's a little soft in a couple of big markets, but that's all it is. The Federal Reserve never sees recessions coming because their job is to try to jawbone this thing higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. But he admitted something. He was talking about the rosy picture for the U.S. economy, and then he said, we do have this one problem, and I think he mentioned the figure of 500,000, half a million people that have left the workforce. Labor force participation rate did sink under Barack Obama. It has not rebounded in any appreciable way. I believe we are 0.1% higher in labor force participation, meaning those of working age that are actually in the labor force is maybe 0.1% higher than it was at the depth of the Obama presidency. This is a new ugly little plateau that we have, or I guess a ditch we're in. And that's because there are systemic problems. Now, if we do have another financial crisis, if the Gateway Pundits to be believed that Obama wrecked our economy, and look at the terrible things that happened during his 8 years, when much of it is the fault of Congress and much of it is the fault of the Fed, as bad as Obama was, there's plenty of blame to go around. It's not just a political red-blue issue. What do you think is going to happen? Do you believe that do you believe that tax cuts will crush the economy? Now, I got to tell you, tax cuts like the Republicans just did with no spending decreases whatsoever, not actually increasing spending while decreasing revenue, not a great idea. But the Trump tax cuts are going to be blamed if we have another recession or another financial crisis. And that's the game they play. If there is a, if we slip into recession, which is a very real possibility, during the next year or 2 years before the reelection, they will blame Donald Trump for the recession. Now, how do you, if without being completely hypocritical, say that Barack Obama was responsible for everything that happened financially under his administration, but this isn't Trump's fault? See, that's the game we always play. I've had these arguments with people, even when I was a Kool-Aid drinking neocon Republican, and when George Bush came into office, we were in a recession, early 2000s. This was after the dot-com crash. And I remember having a conversation with a liberal friend of mine, and he goes, look what George Bush did to the economy. And I said, are you nuts? These are things that he just got in office when the recession started. How is it possibly his fault? He hadn't done anything yet, but this Democrat was convinced that this great Clinton economy, look at the great economy that Bill Clinton had, and look what George Bush did to it within just a couple of months. Well, obviously that was ridiculous. Hopefully he has grown older since that time now and no longer thinks that. But I knew it wasn't Bush's fault. It was because the excesses during the Clinton administration, because of all kinds of different things, whether it's government debt or Fed printing money and setting artificially low in, interest rates, or bankers convincing everybody to pile into dot-com stocks or whatever it was. These are systemic problems that do not know party. It is just the system that we have right now is very fragile. This is the propaganda on the left. And I say propaganda, I'm not sure if it's propaganda or if it's just absolute ignorance. Now, Julian Assange is sick. He was too ill last week to attend a hearing. Now, I know many people out there have swallowed up the propaganda from people like Mike Pompeo or any of these other government mouthpieces or partisan people who just hate it when the government can't keep a secret. When us peons get the truth about something, the people that were trying to hide the truth from us for so long really get ticked off, and they take to the airwaves and they try to convince their base, whether it's right or left, hey, you need to hate this guy because he damaged national security or whatever. See, they don't like the truth getting out. And I believe they are probably on the cusp of maybe killing Julian Assange. So many people out there believe Assange is some kind of traitor, even though he's not an American, he's an Australian, that he's was engaged in espionage and all this. If you believe that Julian Assange is some terrible character because he exposed some deep state secrets, then you are in good company. Here's some people who agree with you.
Julian Assange has been arrested. He faces charges in the U.S. for conspiring to hack into a classified government computer. WikiLeaks tweeted that he's won dozens of journalism awards, nominated for a Nobel Prize every year since 2010. And this is just a campaign by the CIA to delegitimize and dehumanize him. Yeah. I was almost said dehumidify him.
That would be a good idea, actually. He's quite
so,
a human.
You know, so what do you think it is? Why is this happening? Did he break the law? Was it a problem?
Well, remember what he did originally.
Yeah, tell.
Well, he hacked into the Democrats' computers and helped Trump get elected, basically.
See, this is, again, I use the word propaganda a lot because I know when it's really constructed. What Gateway Pundit put out is propaganda. It is anti-Obama, trying to prop up the Republicans and absolve them of all blame and just lay it at the feet of a Democrat so that the Republicans all gel together. I don't know if this is really propaganda as much as just sheer stupidity. But there are people listening to The View and accepting what these people say in matters of politics and national security. Again, I'm going to let you listen to this. This is Joy Behar. What she says is that Julian Assange, the person, hacked into the Democratic Party and helped Trump win. That is such a perversion of the actual events that occurred, yet these people in this audience are lapping it up, and this is what informs their worldview. They are so radically misinformed, but this is what Joy Behar says.
Yeah, tell.
Well, he hacked into the Democrats' computers, and
there's never even been a charge by the swampiest deep state creature that Julian Assange hacked into the DNC. That charge has never been made by anybody. Even the biggest Assange hater has never said those words.
And helped Trump get elected, basically, by exposing Podesta's emails, mm-hmm. and then Comey went after Hillary. And remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That's why
in
Trump won, basically.
But he's been doing it since 2010.
What's kind of lost in there, it's just a tiny little point, is they exposed the Podesta emails. Yeah. See, this is fascinating to me. Something about the human condition and people who hate Assange, and particularly people on the left. What Assange published. Now, if you're not really familiar with the story, if you don't have your facts, and many people aren't interested in the facts, but Assange published DNC emails and John Podesta emails. He put them out on a platform where average, everyday peons like us have access to them. And what they showed was the fact that the DNC was working as an arm of the Hillary Clinton campaign to cheat Bernie Sanders out of the nomination. The Podesta emails, in my opinion, showed a whole nother level of depravity and criminality, but we won't get into that right now. Julian Assange published the truth. I don't believe Julian Assange has ever been found to have published anything that was inaccurate. And he had, for her to say that he hacked the DNC, that's just, it's a lie or ignorance. I'm not sure, but she's not done. And here is Meghan McCain. So again, if you believe that Julian Assange is this, I believe Mike Pompeo called him a non-state hostile foreign, hostile intelligence service. That's what Mike Pompeo tells you Julian Assange is. Julian Assange is a publisher. He is bringing some transparency. You may not always agree with it, but that's what he is doing, just like we don't always agree when newspapers publish certain things. But do we really want to always be in the dark? This is Meghan McCain. So if you are a Julian Assange hater, you are cozied up to and shoulder to shoulder with Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and the daughter of John McCain.
But can I point out there is a difference, Sonny, in being a whistleblower and being a straight-up hacker. And what we found out with Assange is he conspired with Russia to meddle in our 2016 election.
So it was him.
If that is not committing a crime,
yes, to Robert
know what that
allegedly.
Is. So to say that's under the freedom of speech, I can't get... Here's what I would tell
hold
you.
On,
I
would let her do it.
So I'm sorry, that was not Meghan McCain. There's another clip. I'll do it in just a second. That was another one of these talking heads. I don't even know the women's name on here. Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. Meghan McCain, I know them. I think there's a couple others that float in and out. I don't know. I don't know anything about The View. What that woman just said has not even been charged, that he was conspiring with the Russians. Now, some people say that the Russians gave him the DNC emails, even though there's no evidence that the Russians got the DNC information. None. There's no evidence of that whatsoever, except for CrowdStrike that worked for the DNC just said it. And then when the FBI said, oh my gosh, the Russians tried to get in here and interfere with our process and get into the Democratic Party computers, give us those hard drives so we can figure out how they do it. And DNC said, eh, we're good. And the FBI said, well, wait, don't you want us to investigate this? And said, well, our private contractor already investigated it. We don't need to give you the servers. Just tell the world that the Russians hacked us, and we're good. We're good here. You don't need to investigate. So this is, again, it's propaganda. It is lies. And these audiences, large segments, I assume The View must have a lot of viewers because it's been on for a long time, influence people's opinions. And this is just endless. I've got another big propaganda story. I'm going to find that Meghan McCain clip, too. So whoever this nameless person was, she's on your side if you hate Julian Assange. Whoopi Goldberg's on your side. Joy Behar's on your side. And when I come back, you'll hear Meghan McCain, the daughter of John McCain. She's on your side, too. I tell you what, if that's the kind of company you're keeping when it comes to Julian Assange, you might want to reconsider your position. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
You know, there are times on this show that I get kind of tongue-tied. And what's funny is, I play these clips of just very popular, I don't know if they're, it's like so many people from entertainment have now morphed into talking heads on politics and world events. And they've been given some expert status by the fact that they're on the TV. And I do a show trying to base in facts. I don't know how far I have to go back for any of these mainstream narratives that are driven that divide us into these two neatly controlled parties. Because as I do the story on the Gateway Pundit stuff, saying that Obama's wrecked our economy. Really, I need to go back to at least 1913 and the creation of the Federal Reserve to explain a lot of the structural problems we have in this country. You need to talk about things like fiat currencies, which are dollars just printed up out of thin air. There's all kinds of things to it to explain. And I struggle with, you know, I can't for every topic take you back. If we want to talk about Iran, you need to go back to at least 1953, at the very least, to understand our relationship with Iran when we overthrew their government against their will. A democratically elected president of Iran, well, we took him out and put our strongman in. And so it is so difficult to try to unpack this stuff and show people why you cannot believe the narratives and the things that come out of these people's mouths, because it ignores so many facts that are just swept to the side. And when it comes to stuff today, I mean, We're on the cusp of war, maybe walking back a little bit, but all this war talk with Iran, I mean, the American people can't remember just a couple of years ago when we overthrew Libya. They certainly can't go back and talk about the mess we created in Iraq and all of these warmongers, what they've done. I mean, we can't even, it's just like the Democrats. The Democrats can just look at a socialist nation collapsing, whether it's Venezuela or even the problems in Sweden now. Democrats can look at the problems in democratically controlled cities like Chicago and across the country and just ignore those things and say, well, we just need to try it on a bigger scale. Well, it just needs more money. I mean, people are just impervious to facts, and it makes it very, very difficult on this show to really fully explain things. And I'm one that wants to do that. Sometimes I will dedicate entire hours of shows just to deconstructing entire narratives. You know, I've talked a lot. I've done entire shows just about, I'm not sure if I did a whole two-hour show on the fact of these defense contractors, these defense industry lobbyists that go on to every major news network, Fox News being one of the worst at this, and they are announced as just military analysts. Retired four-star general Jack Keane, Fox military news analyst. But they don't mention the fact that he's on the board of directors or is the president of or an investor in four different defense contractors that all make money off of war. And so I'll spend a lot of time trying to unpack that stuff. But every time I mention these things, I feel like, you know, talk radio is such that you get new listeners, people that didn't hear that show, that don't hear those. I want to go back and really show you why what you're hearing is such garbage, because it's demonstrable. And the fact of the matter is, all of these things are easily accessible in the worldwide web nets there, but most people won't use it for that. They'll use it to play fantasy football and to get on Facebook and then go into their bubbles, into the Gateway Pundit. Look at that. That Obama wrecked our economy. And they'll go on to Huffington Post and go, look at that. Trump's a Nazi. And that's what people use the internet for instead of actual fact-finding. I've got 2 hours a day here, and I try, but it's difficult. It's difficult. Here is, again, this is on Assange, who is, I believe, as we speak, being slow-killed. A lot of people have said, well, they're going to bring back Assange. This is genius by the Department of Justice. They've charged him with all these crimes and now espionage. They're going to bring him back to the United States, and he's going to sing like a bird, and it's going to bust open the deep state. I don't believe that for one single second, because it's not played out that way. And there is no evidence that this deep state is being rattled in any real way. Now, they're exposed, and we're going to watch the political pageantry and the political theater that pretends to expose them, but the American people will give them just as much power because now it's in other hands or whatever. I just believe nothing comes of any of this. But if you are an Assange hater like so many people are, because you believe he damages national security, or if you're on the left and you believe that he wrecked the election and cost Hillary the presidency. But particularly if you're on the right, Meghan McCain, not a fan of Julian Assange.
Actually prosecuted him.
The politics of this have always been completely hypocritical on both sides. Eric Holder under Obama decided against pursuing persecution of Assange, of concerns that WikiLeaks was, quote, a journalistic organization that would raise First Amendment issues. Chelsea Manning was granted clemency. Chelsea Manning in 2010 released 750,000 classified and sensitive military documents that put our national security at risk under the Obama administration. She was given clemency. This is something that a lot of people who have put national security at first, I put myself in that category, have been warning about and warning about and warning about. And the only time the Democrats started caring is when it started affecting them politically and Hillary Clinton's emails were released and John Podesta's emails were released.
What's going to happen with him? That's my question.
So here's the biggest
problem. I hope he rocks in hell, starting with that.
Right next to your dad there, Megan. I'm sorry, I have a relationship between a daughter and her father. I have all the admiration of the world for her love she had for her dad, and her dad may have really loved her. But, you know, with whatever Julian Assange is accused of doing, he essentially has been a publisher and he put things out. Now, you may agree or disagree with some of the things that he has published. This has traditionally been the function of a free press. It's just that we have no free press anymore. We have no investigative reporters. Do you think this kind of corruption in our country would have survived if we had true investigative journalists and independent news organizations? As media has consolidated over the years and you end up with just this mass corporate media, do you think that all of the crimes, do you think that Joe Biden's son would have gotten away with the dealings he's had in Ukraine and in China if we'd had a free independent press that was speaking truth to power? See, that's gone from mainstream media here in the United States. Which means there's a vacuum there for Julian Assange to just flat out publish what he gets his hands on. Whistleblowers pull stuff out when they see criminality going on, and they send it to Julian Assange, and he has a platform where he just puts it out there. Meghan McCain says he should rot in hell. And again, the going after whistleblowers, and the problem that we have is that American people see no benefit in transparency of our government because we've been convinced that the government is our parent. They just love us so much that if they need to keep secrets from us, then by gosh golly, they should. And if you haven't noticed the trend, again, this is one of those historical things that I could spend a lot of time on. The trend has been within government to classify more and more stuff. Do you know that even, this is what, 2 years ago, they have still got documents on the JFK assassination that are still classified for national security reasons. Somebody explain to me what possible national security reasons something that transpired in 1963 as a sitting president of the United States, a wildly popular sitting president of the United States, was murdered in broad daylight in downtown Dallas, Texas. Can you tell me how there's still a national security interest in keeping documents related to that classified? But they still have them. They overclassify everything. What a great gig. You can do whatever you want. You have endless amounts of money to spend to do whatever activity you want. And then you just put a stamp on it that says national security and you classify it. And the American people just believe that they need to keep these things from us because they want to keep us safe. People are mad at Edward Snowden because he exposed the fact that our government was spying on our private communications. And people are mad at Snowden. He's in Russia. the world is just bizarre when he has to travel to the former Soviet Union because he was a whistleblower. The American people, and unfortunately I've seen it so much on the conservative side of things because our conservative politicians don't like the fact that he exposed one of the deep state tools that both parties love. And conservatives just go, I don't need that Fourth Amendment. You don't understand, Mike. That Fourth Amendment was fine, but you don't understand the dangers of the world today. There's a terrorist behind every bush. We need to give them the tools. So there's your company. If you're an Assange hater and ready to see him die or hang or rot in hell, as Meghan McCain said, there's your crowd. Whoopi, Joy Behar, Meghan McCain, and the other no-name woman that I I have no idea. Who cares about The View? I may be competing with them right now. And the sad thing is, they're beating me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, just a final few minutes in the show today on what this has turned into Misinformation Monday. But yeah, I like my alliteration, my titles for segments. That could be one, but it sure sounds like I'm the one in that title. In the context of that title, sounds like I'm the one putting out misinformation. I'm trying to correct the record on just a whole bunch of stuff today. Been kind of a rambling thing through, you know, trying to, as I say, it's like playing whack-a-mole, trying to undo all of these hyper-partisan talking points that just... And they just go out and they're just so widely accepted. Here is just, I'm going to finish up on this because this is really creepy. And this is the kind of thing we should be aware of because this is how we get to where we are right now. The newest 2019 Call of Duty Modern Warfare features missions involving the pro-Al-Qaeda, quote, humanitarian organization, unquote, White Helmets, and a Bana Albed-esque girl killing bad Russians. The following is a description of the second mission in which a flashback shows how two children become rebel fighters on the side of the U.S. after Russian soldiers raided their house. Russian soldiers come in on vehicles, jump out of the vehicles, and just start shooting everyone. You can hear women, children screaming not to be shot, men and women yelling in pain. The father puts the kid down and tells her to follow behind him. As they start running and getting closer to their house, the Russian soldiers throw some sort of nerve or lethal gas at them. They bust inside their house, shut the door, and find the brother. They converse about what they must do next, and the girl and boy are given cell phones. The father reveals that their mother has been killed. Their father hands the boy a gas mask, tells him the daughter will be okay without a mask right now and prepared to leave. A Russian soldier is ordered to check door to door and comes into the house before they can leave. The father pleads with him not to shoot because there are children in the house. The father then lunges towards the attacker to take the weapon away and stab him. The little boy tries to help the father take down the attacker, but the attacker throws the boy into the door, knocking him out. The Russian soldier is a lot stronger and shoots the father numerous times in front of the daughter. This will train everybody to hate the Russians just like they want you to. Have Russian soldiers ever done things wrong? Absolutely. But this idea that it's so subtle even that the Russians are throwing, you know, nerve gas around. Now, if you follow this show or the actual investigations into the nerve gas attacks in Syria over the last couple of years, they've determined they were all bogus. They never happened. They were false flag events designed to draw the United States into war. And now, as I talk about propaganda on the show for really the last 2 hours, this is the most nefarious kind. It's like these... I can't watch it, and I don't... I've never looked at a TV listing, but how many shows are out there that show the CIA busting up terrorist organizations? It doesn't show the CIA. I don't know. Starting wars, funding radical jihadists in the Middle East to overthrow democratically elected governments. You know, it's a subtle propaganda designed to just drip, 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 make the American people believe the garbage that comes out of politicians in our government's mouth. And so now I'm sure this will be, I do not play these games. I got to tell you, I want to play some of these shooter games. My son has tried to get me into playing some of these games when he was younger. I don't think he really plays many of them now. I'm terrible at them. I do not have the dexterity. And I've fought almost as, for years back, when my son's 18 now, he was 6 or 7 years ago, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? Kind of as a, not a Christmas gift, but just because I wanted to spend some more time with my son. I'm going to learn how to play these video games. So a couple of times when they weren't in the house, I sat down and tried to do it. I'm terrible. I don't know. I can't. It almost gives me a seizure to look at these games when you're going from the site, looking through the site. It's back and forth. I just can't do them. But I'm sure this video game will be wildly popular. And that is a whole generation of gamers that will be shown that the Russians are the bad guys and that the radical jihadists, the so-called freedom fighters in Syria, they're the good guys. They're the victims. And that's how this stuff seeps into our consciousness. And then these kids will carry this into their adulthood and they'll be really primed. The pump will be primed when they launch some false flag attack trying to implicate Russia down the road. These people, these kids playing this game will be right there to believe it because they played video games showing this country in a bad light for years and years. That is the way the world really works. Gotta go. See you tomorrow. Bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.